Hi, this is Jean Bruce Scott.
And Randy Reinholz.
And when we're not busily producing some of the most outstanding Native American theater in Los Angeles,
we always like to check out the best of British audio adventures with Alex Lefchuk and his team of the Midweek Drive.
And Midweek Drive morning editions on Siren FM.
And Southside Broadcasting. Podbean.com.
Stay. It's fair to say that when you are a singer-songwriter who has the quality and range of depth that our next guest actually has, well, frankly, you automatically will go into the Hall of Fame scenario. We've got Carnegie Hall, we've got the Isle of Wight, we've got Glastonbury, we've got the Sydney Opera House, we've got a whole range of other factors. Also the first female to actually launch your own particular record label and has produced some of the most awesome music I've ever heard in the 20th century and beyond. It echoes, it resonates. Yes, we're going to be speaking about the fantastically talented, wonderfully capable and all-round super person, Melanie Safka. How are you, Melanie?
Hi, I'm here. I'm fine.
It's really great to connect with your good self. We've been listening to some of your magical music that's been put together over the years. I mean, I can't believe Woodstock 1969. It seems, well, it was generations ago now, but right from the launch of that whole side of things, you've never looked back, have you, really?
What?
You've never looked back.
No, not really. I mean, I've had a life of raising children and family, having a family, but I never left. I always toured and brought my children with me.
Well, Candles in the Rain was what we've just actually heard. This is going to be our Melanie Day, basically, because we're going to be producing all sorts of things interlinking with this. And we've got two fabulous folk who, I've got to say, Melanie, they weren't even born when you actually entered the joyous world of singer-songwriting and so on and so forth, but they're still wonderful souls. First of all, we'll go to our North Carolina soul, awesome English student and creative writer, Jessica Burtis. How are you, Jessica?
I am doing pretty well.
Excellent. Not too far. In fact, actually, Jessica, you're closer to Melanie now than we are in England. So it connects together quite nicely for some sort of things. I mean, I'm presuming, Melanie, you're on the East Coast of America. Is that correct?
No, I'm on Central Time. Oh, I'm in Nashville, Tennessee.
Oh, okay. You're not too far from me.
No. Can you see me? Because I see you.
We've just activated our cameras, but don't worry, Melanie, you're fine. We can see your name there. All's good. We're good.
Well, you can see me if I'm here.
Yeah, exactly. And the other soul I want to introduce to the package today is, of course, our ace English and journalism student from the University of Lincoln in England, of course. She's based in Norwich at present because of the pandemic. It's Rebecca Bond. How are you, Rebecca?
Hi, I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Very good indeed. Now, I've already gone on record as saying that over the years, really, with the Midweek Drive, the classic Ruby Tuesday, Lay Lady Lay, Candles in the Rain, a whole range of sort of things. My all-time favourite number, Melanie, has to be Beautiful People. I mean, if you wanted a track that I'd want to be played at my funeral, that would be it. Superb.
Yeah. Are we thinking that far ahead here? Okay. All right.
Very true. But I'm just putting it out there. But when you actually made that initial sort of step, because obviously from New York originally, you sort of decided to enter the business and so on. Was there some, I mean, it's crazy to say, was there a career pathway in mind? But just casting your mind back to those days, I mean, you were very much a pioneer when it comes to singer-songwriting, which puts you up with the Bob Dylans, the Joan Baezes, et cetera. I mean, you know, very much at the heart of the whole system.
Yeah, when I started, singers were singers and writers were writers. They were the funny looking people in the back room who wrote the song, and the singer was the glamorous person. And Bob Dylan kind of changed that. He was, you know, a writer, and you heard his voice. In fact, at one point, they used to call me, because they didn't have a name for that. They didn't call people singer songwriters yet, and they called me the female Bob Dylan. Yeah. Always wondered if they ever called him the male Melanie.
Yeah, I think they should have, actually, because, you know, initially I was thinking maybe it's something that must have been in New York, that obviously as yourself basically just known as the name Melanie. Likewise, in the 80s and 90s, we had Madonna, just known as Madonna. And you both got sort of the same number of letters in your name. Just a thought, really, but still. equally as pioneering. Rebecca, any questions you'd like to put to Melanie? Because I think you hopefully had a chance to listen to some of her music in betwixt time. So any thoughts? Was it a new experience? Given, of course, that we just spent a whole semester talking about histories of journalism, and I did focus on the whole civil rights movement, etc., within the 60s. In fact, you wrote an excellent essay about it. Rebecca.
Yes, definitely. Melanie, your voice is beautiful. I really enjoy your music. My parents are fans as well. They know your music. I just wondered, your covers are so beautiful. Like, you've covered Bob Dylan, you've covered the Rolling Stones. And if I may say so myself, they are amazing. They're almost, if not, I must say, better. So I wondered if you had a sort of process and how you really put your personality into your covers, because I feel that really shines through.
Yeah, I have. It's funny that you mentioned, because I don't do a lot of people's songs, other people's songs. I mostly wrote songs for myself. So when I picked a song, it would be something I just wish I wrote myself, you know.
Oh, really?
And yeah, I think Ruby Tuesday felt like me. I don't know. It was talking about myself. And I guess that's where I interpreted a song as if I wrote it, you know?
Definitely, so, and I feel your originality really shines through, which I think is amazing.
Thank you. Thank you very much, yeah. Ruby Tuesday became a huge hit all over the place. And in fact, in the States, I had become, I don't know, that there was a politics in, I don't mean politics as in government politics, but a politics in the music industry itself. And there was a group of people who were very powerful in, like, underground Rolling Stone presentations, and I became very not cool, you know. And I don't know, it was really odd for me, because the Rolling Stone were, that was my people, you know, they were my people. And when they started bashing me, it was very, very peculiar. I mean, even Lay Down Candles in the Rain, they never mentioned that I wrote the song, and they reviewed it really, really bombed, yeah, as a review. And they said, when my voice came on, the Edwin Hawkins Singers were great, but when my voice came on, it was like a nail scratching on a chalkboard or something like that. And yeah. I was devastated, because again, this was what I considered my, you know, people, you know, that was my generation's newspaper. That was, and yet they were really brutal with me. And I did interviews, and they would use every other word, you know,
oh,
so
really?
That your point of view didn't really get across. And so I the reason I'm telling you this is because with Ruby Tuesday, I had a vindicating moment when I was doing a show in Cleveland, and the reviewer just wanted to bash me. You know, she just knew she wasn't going to like me one way or another. And she said, And when she did her song, her own song, Brand New Key, well, we all know that was really stupid. And then when she did her other song, Ruby Tuesday, you know, that was really, and she just bashed the song. And I thought that was my moment of vindication, you know. Here they are, the Rolling Stones wrote this, and she didn't know.
No, but that's what's so amazing about you. I think you can take a cover and make it your own. I think if you look at the comments on a lot of your videos on YouTube and other platforms, a lot of people say the exact same thing, that you take the song and make it better. That's what's so fascinating and so amazing about your talent.
She would never say where she came from. yesterday don't matter, 'cause it's gone. While the sun is bright or in the darkest night, no one knows. She comes and then she goes. Tell you it's the only way to be. She just can't be chained to a life where nothing's gained and nothing's lost. But such a cause. Time to lose, I heard her say. You gotta catch your dreams before they run away. Dying all the time, lose your dreams. Might lose your mind. Is life unkind?
Sorry,
I'll definitely endorse that. That's okay. It looks as though there's a cat that's obviously sort of burst into the whole system. That's okay.
I heard
it's
that.
Fine.
Yeah.
My cat just came in. Sorry.
Yeah,
sorry.
Obviously, wanted to have full agreement by actually saying, yeah, absolutely, Melanie. Those critics back in the day, they don't know what they were talking about. They did not know what talent they actually had. And of course, we have, which is fantastic. Jessica, does that echo some of your thoughts? Because again, I presume this is the first time you've actually heard some of Melanie's tunes, and you know, look what they've done to my song, Mar. Is it also a huge personal favourite of mine? Because it kind of demonstrates everything. You try to put something up right, and then they turn it out all wrong, Mar. Anyway, Jessica.
Yes, no, I completely agree with Rebecca that your music is so beautiful and that your cover work is artful. And I'm so sorry that the music business has been so unforgiving in that kind of way. It's so unfair. But no, your music still shines today. I think, you know, I liked hearing it and I think it sounds absolutely timeless.
Aw, well, thank you.
Yeah, I think timeless is a very appropriate adjective, Melanie, because if we go back to look what they've done to my song, Ma, I mean, that could be written literally yesterday or today about how people have actually tried to put something out in the world of creativity, in the world of arts and so on, because there are so many systems you have to go through that sometimes you end up with something which is nothing like what you'd originally intended. And I think that also always needs to be borne in mind. It's that personalization that I think really impresses me. I mean, the first track I actually remember hearing from you, Melanie, was indeed Ruby Tuesday. And then, of course, Brand New Key. Speaking of cover versions, though, did you ever encounter the Wurzels and their version of Combined Harvester?
Yes. Yeah. That was
now,
really
there is a case for actually saying, look, I've got to take my lawyers are on this because get off my land. You know, I got a brand new Combined Harvester. Honestly, they crippled it for years for that.
But, oh, that was very funny. And people were defending me and saying, oh, that's terrible that people did that to your song. And I went, no, I love it. I love that. I mean, I'd much rather have people do that and do a, you know, take off on it and make it funny than to ape my version, which is kind of what happened with Look What They've Done to My Song, Ma. I didn't have the hit record with that. I wrote it, but another group had recorded it and it went to number one. Oh. But they actually, it almost was me, you know, they almost aped my version exactly. Oh. And
I blame Marty Christian and Eve and the whole the New Seekers. I mean, they were just desperate for having some sort of routine. So obviously the New Seekers, they did it the same with Harry Chapin and Circles. You know, it's just Harry Chapin's version was far superior, but that's a by the by.
Yeah, I think it wasn't, I wasn't blaming the group. I'm sure, you know, it was the record company and the label and the production, the producer probably liked my version. So he'd do that, you know. So, and I had already released, I think, something else. So I think what happened is I ended up with three records in the top 10 at one time. I think that was some sort of record of having three. I was the only female ever to have three records in the top 10. But that was because the Seekers had released that and I had released something else, and I'm not even sure what it was, but it might have been Nickel's song.
Equally wonderful. I mean, I could even go on to talk about Christopher Robin and other sort of aspects, but that's another line. Jessica, thoughts from yourself?
This is a little off topic, but I'm super curious. I really want to know if you can choose where your favorite place you've performed is, or if there's anywhere that really sticks in your memory that stands out from the others.
Oh, gosh. There have been so many amazing places, and it's not to do with the place, of course. It has to do with the heart and soul of the audience, you know. And certainly the Isle of Wight was magic, absolutely magic. I followed the Who, and nobody wanted to follow the Who because that
Melanie,
was when
Roger Daltrey, he was your warm-up act, obviously. That's yeah. Yours.
Well, nobody wanted. Jim Morrison said absolutely refused, and I don't know. Somehow I did it, but I think now I probably would have refused to. I didn't have the sense to do that. But by the time they had broken the stage down, it was dawn, you know, that they had gone in the night, and by the time their setup was broken down and I could go on, it was, people were sleeping, you know, so I was thinking, oh, well, you know, I'll sing to a bunch of sleeping people. But as I went on, well, Keith Moon introduced me. So he woke people up a little bit. And I just saw heads popping up little by little. And I brought the daylight in. It was just a magical, and the people in the audience were just, you know, really resonated, you know, and it was one of the more magical, of course, Woodstock. You know, it's amazing when you perform for a small audience, it's almost more inhibiting because you can see eyeballs. But when it's massive humanity out there, there is this huge common denominator that when you touch it, it's euphoric, you know. It's just like, it's hard to almost live after that, you know, because there's some kind of truth that you touch that doesn't seem to occur in life very much. So, yeah, I understand totally why people in music can turn to something like drugs, because it's almost such a letdown, you know, when you have to live everyday life, mm-hmm. and you've had these experiences where they're bigger than life, you know, and you and then you have to go home and face all the other things that people face in everyday real life. And so I can understand why people do turn to drugs when they've had those experiences.
And I think it's also important that, I mean, returning back to Beautiful People, look, I'm holding up your greatest hits collection here, Melanie, actually on CD, from that point of view, just immediately to hand.
Well, that's one I don't get paid for.
Oh, that's what
I have to say. You know, I have so many releases. I mean, I'm up for grabs because my husband was a record producer, and he was as creative as I was in another way, you know, and we went from one label to another. And then of course we made, started Neighborhood Records, and that was my own label. But when it dissolved, there were loose ends, and in those loose ends, I became a human rights abuse, basically. Article 27 of the Human Rights, Declaration of Human Rights, and I've been violated. I'm definitely not being compensated for so many recordings out there. Yeah, it's terrible.
We make sure that our fees are duly paid. But I mean, again, the quality certainly sort of resonates, as we said, sort of frequently. Rebecca, I'm just sort of thinking, I mean, looking at this, Melanie awarded Billboard's number one top female vocalist award in 1972. Also, of course, an official UNICEF ambassador, which is obviously an important sort of line of things, where you actually, Melanie, agreed to forego a world tour in favour of raising money for UNICEF. I mean, again, I think that sort of positivity that you're putting out there, which is echoed in your songs and compositions, is really, I mean, as I say, I can only cite from I mean, okay, Bob Dylan does lots of great stuff, etc. But Harry Chapin, sadly no longer with us, is the guy I probably would say came closer to having that kind of commitment to really one humanity.
Wow. Well, thank you. Was that a question?
No, it was just an observation. No. Rebecca might have a couple of questions. Anyway, over to yourself.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I'd love to know. You have a beautiful voice, but not only that, you have an incredible songwriting ability. I just wondered how that process happens. Could you like take us through? Is it a moment of inspiration? Is it you sit down and really work on it? How does that process work for you?
Yeah, you know, I grew up in a musical family, My mother listened to a lot of Billie Holiday and Bessie Smith and even Peggy Lee, you know. And then my uncle was a union organizing person, and he brought home a lot of labor songs, which is more the Woody Guthrie and you know, songs of more of humanity. I just sort of wanted to be Billie Holiday, you know. I kind of went, you know, and but yet I wanted to sound like Joan Baez. You know, when you're a kid, you're just grabbing things. You're like a sponge, you know. So
yeah, you have role models.
I absorbed all these things. And when I first started recording, the songs that I didn't really think that I was a writer, you know. I just wrote songs that I could do, because I didn't have I wasn't attracted to that many songs from other people. So I thought of myself as a singer. I didn't really think of myself as a writer, but I did write songs that I could be in, you know, really feel like I could communicate those thoughts. And there were a few other writers that obviously I know, Bob Dylan. I recorded a few of his songs, and
tambourine man, play a song for me. I'm not sleepy, and there ain't no place I'm going to. Hey, Mr. Tambourine man, play a song for me. In the jingle jangle morning, I'll come for. Trip upon your magic swirling ship. All my senses have been stripped, and my hands can't feel to grip, and my toes too numb to step, waiting only for my bootios to be wandering. I'm ready to go anywhere. I'm ready for to fade into my own parade. Cast your dancing spell my way. I promise I'll go under it. Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man, play a song for me. I'm not sleepy, and nobody cares where I'm going to. Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man, play a song for me. In the jingle jangle morning, I'll come following. Down the smoke rings of my mind, through the foggy ruins of time, down past the frightened leaves and the lifeless frozen trees, way down to the windy beach, far from the twisted reach of crazy sorrow. I wanna dance beneath a diamond sky, with one hand waving free, silhouetted by the sea, with all memory and fate driven deep beneath the waves. Please let me forget about today until tomorrow. Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man, play a song for me. I'm not sleepy, and nobody knows where I'm going to. Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man, play a song for me. In the jingle, jangle morning, I'll come following.
I think certainly, Melanie, that both Mr. Tambourine Man and Lay Lady Lay very much echoing the sort of quality that's around from that point of view. Of course, again, looking up to date, I see that it was actually...
I quite answered your question, though. Because you had said, what was your question exactly?
Just what your creative process was. How do you go about writing?
Oh, you know, there's I'm not it's not for me a craft. I know people like to think that, you know, we slave over lyrics or something. In fact, I have a funny story. I won an Emmy for writing lyrics to the theme of Beauty and the Beast, a TV show.
Wow.
And I was contacted by the Hollywood people, and I was given the melody, and I came up with the lyrics immediately. I mean, they just flew in, you know. And
so it's natural.
So
for you.
But yet when I handed them those lyrics, which was a mistake, I should have waited, but I handed them in the next day, and they said, oh, well, first we have to pass it by the producer, and then we want the actors and actresses. And so they all had an opinion, and they said,
and look what they've done to her legs, Ma.
They said, we need more of his point of view, and we need more of her point of view. And the line that I started the song with was the first time I loved forever. And I thought, oh, that's so perfect. And so I gave them these lyrics, and they said, no, no, no. And they kept torturing me. Months were going by, and I'm writing pages, legal pads full of lyrics. And I kept handing things, and they would have different little nitpicky things about the lyric, and I would work on it some more. And finally, I had it, and it was before computers and before emails and records could be examined, and I decided to hand in my first lyric again, and I did that, and the producer called me the next day. He said, Melanie, you see, all that hard work paid off.
Really?
And they took that very first lyric, which was, they were absolutely right. That was the best.
What an incredible talent.
What was it?
What an incredible talent that you can just, that comes naturally to you. That's amazing.
Yeah. I trust the first things that come out, you know, and I may work on a word or think, oh no, that would be better if I said, made it plural or something. But, you know, nothing really major. Usually the best songs seem to just come out in a few minutes. The basic truth of the song.
Absolutely. The essence comes across there. Jessica, again, that's an interesting line. Obviously, you sort of work our way through the sort of the first thoughts are often the best. Any additional sort of comments from yourself now?
If I could ask, I would have to just, I'm curious, do you incorporate music into your quarantine days? Are you using that to kind of get through this whole pandemic craziness?
Oh, it's been horrible. Absolutely horrible. I totally miss human that communication that you get when you're in front of a live group of people, and you become it's this major conversation that you have with a group of people. And I mean, I've been, you know, doing little live stream things. In fact, I'm going to be doing a live stream concert on the 30th of this month. It will be the last Saturday of the first month of 2021. I had wanted to do it at Christmas, but there are technical things, which in itself is just so much nonsense you have to do, you know, to get the technical stuff done, the audio and the visuals. And so I've been, of course we sing, but it's just not the same when they're not people in front of you, you know. Well, no, it's been a hardship, an absolute hardship. I think I've aged 10 years in this last year.
Melanie, age is just a number. And as Carl Sagan, the late cosmologist, would have said, we are some of the things hydrogen atoms will evolve into given several billion years of cosmic evolution. I just put that out there. It's just a thought. Of course, actually, you were performing on BBC's Jewel's annual Hootenanny literally before the plague year struck, New Year's Eve 2019. Who would have thought we'd have a year like we've just had? But still, never mind. Life continues.
I know.
Melody, looking ahead, because I mean, we've just literally scratched the surface. There's so many sort of key things that we could actually sort of go into and work through. And I know that Mickey was delighted when you actually signed up with his fantastic company to facilitate this, as well as lots of other interviews. What do you hope for 2021? I mean, in terms of as we look ahead, I mean, clearly people can visit you on your fabulous website. There are all sorts of other areas that can be interconnected from that point of view as well. Where would you actually sort of like to offer a message of hope? And now, of course, you've got a new president in the United States. You've got all sorts of other changes happening. What are the thoughts of Melanie as we head into 2021?
Yeah, well, I'm hoping for an awakening. And I'm hoping that people read between the lines. And I'm hoping that I will be able to connect with people again. And I'm sure that we're headed toward a greater human condition.
Because we're all beautiful people. Goes back to that song again. As I said, it's ideal. You know, you could be taking the subway too. We need Melanie buttons to be passed out, basically. You can pass on buttons to people. Listen to the lyrics. It'll open up a whole range of things there. Melanie, we've got two final questions for your good self at the end of this little piece today, which has been a genuine honour, and we're delighted you're able to actually join us from that point of view. By the way, it's melaniesafka.com if you wish to go directly to the website. But Melanie, have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with Rebecca, Jessica and myself on the programme today? Has it been okay for you?
Oh, yeah. I was kind of hoping that we would have a visual because I looked so horrible on the Jules Holland show. I think, you know what it was? I was, I let myself, usually I do my own makeup, but they assured me because this was digital TV and I needed special digital makeup. And I thought I looked horrible.
You could never do that, Melanie.
It's impossible,
kind of
Melanie.
To redeem myself today, I got up and put makeup on, and I thought I look fine. I should have just done my own makeup, you know.
Yeah.
And I should listen to that inner voice that says, you don't look good.
No, you look beautiful regardless, Melanie.
Exactly. That's the key thing. So the next critical question, Melanie, is will you be kind enough to join us again? Because as I say, I think we've literally just scratched the surface. Will you come back and connect with us via Zoom in the not too distant future?
Yeah, for sure. Thank you.
I think
hope Melanie's... I can get there in person.
That would be awesome. I mean, to see Melanie in Lincoln. Oh, of course, I mean, obviously, Jessica would look forward to seeing you somewhere in North Carolina. Closer to Nashville. So it'll work through on that basis. But I think, Rebecca, Jessica, a round of applause for Melanie. Absolutely wonderful. There we are.
Thank you. Yes, the
traditional sort of Zoomer greeting there, Jessica, clicking her fingers. Marvellous. Melanie, take care. All the very best. And keep on keeping on.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Beautiful people, you live in the same world as I do, but somehow I never noticed you before today. I'm ashamed to say. Beautiful people, we share the same back door and it isn't right. We never met before, but then we may never meet again. If I weren't afraid you'd laugh at me, I would run and take all of your hands in. I'd gather everyone together for alone, cause there'll always be someone with the same button on as you, include him in everything you do. Beautiful people, you ride the same subway as I do every morning. That's gotta tell you something. We got so much in common. I go the same direction that you do. So if you take care of me, maybe I'll take care of you. Beautiful people, you look like friends of mine, and it's about time that someone said it here and now. I make a vow that sometime, somehow, I'll have a meeting, invite everyone you know. I'll pass out burdens for the ones who come to show. Beautiful people, you never have to be alone, cause there'll always be someone with the same burden on as you. Include him in everything you do. He may be sitting right next to you. He may be a beautiful people too. And if you take care of him, well, then maybe he'll take care of you. Cause all of the beautiful people do. And I'm a beautiful people too.